Most of you know that one of my main hobbies is training dogs and competing in dog training sports. The training of a new puppy begins the day it arrives home, and puppies learn incredibly quickly. By the time Delta or Dusty or before them Jazz were 4 months old, they could already do most of the things that are required for the first level of competition in obedience trials, although not consistently enough to bother entering them, but they could do them. And the thing that's most amazing about that is that when I first trained a dog when I was a teenager, the conventional wisdom said that you couldn't do much training with a dog until it was about 6 months of age. It was thought that prior to that, puppies were too immature to learn anything much. What we know now is that the problem was not with the pups, but with the training method. A change of approach, and a whole new world opened up. A world that was previously thought to be impossible. A world that was beyond the scope of our vision just a few decades ago. The people who announce new visions are often seen by others as completely nuts, as unrealistic dreamers. The people who developed the new approach to dog training are still ridiculed by some people. I was talking to a man in the park about it one day, and he said, "Yeah, I saw that book, but I didn't think much of it." And then I showed him what my then four-month-old pup could do, and he thought he might go back and have another look at the book. Something had happened for him, that the scope of his vision had been stretched a little bit further than it had previously gone, because what sounded impossible and unrealistic was suddenly staring him in the face. When John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness crying out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, he's coming right after me," a lot of people said he was a nut. Just another hairy firebrand living in the desert, eating bush tucker and pretending to be Elijah the prophet. But John was announcing a new vision. A vision of one coming after him with the Holy Spirit to establish God's culture of justice and righteousness and peace. Just another wild-eyed idealist, they said, totally out of touch with reality. When Isaiah came announcing the vision that Acacia read for us earlier, I imagine he got the same sort of reaction. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will rest with the kid goat. The cat will curl up with the budgie. The dingo will laze with the joey. A small child will take a tiger snake for show and tell. And politicians will speak in truth in humility. Come on, how can you believe such things? They're not reality. They go against basic human nature. They've never happened before. They defy comprehension. Isaiah was a nut, a few sandwiches short of a picnic. Or was he? It's a very strange thing, reality. It's not nearly as fixed as we're used to thinking. Our beliefs about the limits of reality get very tangled up with what we expect or what we have experienced before. What is seen as way outside of reality in one place or time turns out to be just taken for granted in another. People who thought you could train dogs at 2 months old were once called unrealistic. People who thought the world was round were once locked away because they had clearly lost the ability to function in the real world. People who thought Nelson Mandela would one day be president used to be given a dose of reality in South African prison cells. If the President of the United States can shake hands with Cuba's Castro, who's to say that the lion can't lay down with the lamb? Beware of those who want to define reality for you. Beware of those who tell you what is or isn't realistic. Beware of the politicians who say this is as good as it gets and anyone who wants more is being unrealistic. Beware of the economists who say that only the naive and the stupid could believe that there could be an economic recovery with a higher priority given to hospitals and schools than casinos and car races and austerity measures. Beware of the Pope who says that it's not possible for women to be priests. Beware and be aware. If someone else is trying to define the limits of reality for you, ask what it is they have invested in the present reality. Why would they be threatened if we believed that something was impossible that isn't yet in place? Why do the forest industries tell us that investing in timber plantations instead of old growth forests is simply unrealistic? Why do the arms manufacturers tell us it's unrealistic to talk of loving our enemies? There's money to be made. There's power to be maintained. There are vested interests to be protected. People can't be allowed to believe that it would be possible for our product or our regime or our worldview to become redundant. There's money coming from major drug cartels funding some of those who argue against the legalisation of heroin. They can't afford for it to be available on prescription from the chemist. You've got to ask who's backing a particular view of the world or even a particular moral principle. Hell hath no fury like a vested interest masquerading as a moral principle, I say. The manipulation of our views of reality doesn't just happen on the world stage over the big issues. I'm sure you've all been told at some time by someone in your own particular circumstances. It can't be done. It's unrealistic to think you can change it. You'll always be like that. That's the way it's always been. Get your head out of the clouds. This is the real world. This is the only place you'll ever fit. This is your box and you might as well accept it. Get real. If somebody's saying that to you, why is it that they can't afford for you to escape from the cage of the old view of reality? Maybe it's nothing more than the fear of seeing someone else achieve what they were afraid to try, but often it's more sinister. Always be wary of someone who wants to define your dreams as being outside the realms of reality. Sometimes the difficulties that we have embracing a new vision of reality are not external. They're not always somebody else with a vested interest. Some of the demons are within us. Often we are just resigning ourselves to the inevitability of unchanging cycles. We've heard so often that history repeats itself and that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And we take it for granted that the way things are is pretty much the only way they can be. Our experience of the world determines the limits of our vision. I've never seen a leopard change its spots, therefore it can't. I've never seen the lion lay down with the lamb, therefore it couldn't happen. Or as Woody Allen said, if it did happen, the lamb's still not going to get much sleep. I've never known someone who you could really trust, therefore there isn't anybody. I've never been able to change this pattern in my life, therefore I never will. We can end up as our own worst enemies, with a mixture of fear and lack of vision conspiring from within us to hold us in the prison of our present circumstances. The voices whisper away within us, every time you've tried to get out of this before, you've failed. Don't risk failing again. You can dream your dreams, but they're only dreams. You always have to go back to reality when you wake up, back to the real world where nothing ever changes. The realm of the possible, the extent of reality, is always bigger than we think it is. We've gotten quite used to that fact in the world of science and technology. The impossible keeps on becoming possible there. Well, it can in the realms of psychology and personal relationships and social systems too. If your relationships have always been disasters, it doesn't mean that you're incapable of good relationships, but it may mean you've been approaching them wrong. If a mountain climber fails to conquer a particular peak, they usually try a different route up the next time. Just because it can't be done this way doesn't mean it can't be done. The fact that the hostility and bloodshed in Syria are still going on doesn't mean that the lion can never lay down with the lamb. It means we haven't found the way to peace there yet. John the Baptizer was right. There was one coming after him who changed all the realities. No longer was it true that you were only acceptable to God if you were a descendant of Abraham. God could turn rocks into children of Abraham. The one who came after John said it could be possible if you could believe it, if you could trust God for it. He called us to take up the vision of Isaiah and look for a day when there would be justice for the needy and equity for the poor. Jesus lived and died to let us know that you can expect a whole lot more than just more of the same. He was raised from the dead to show us that even death no longer remains the end of hope. Even death can no longer limit the scope of reality. Change and new life are not only possible in dramatic new ways here and now, but they're no longer even just confined to the here and now. They've broken out of that boundary too. Jesus the Christ has kicked open the doors of all our prisons. We are free to believe and strive for and achieve what was once believed impossible. But the prisoner whose dreams and vision have never extended beyond the closed door will be unable to face the prospect of venturing beyond it. For Jesus' sake, let's not stay sitting in the backs of our cells, unwilling to go through the now open door because we've given up hoping that there might be anything on the other side of it. The same Jesus who burst open the door is also promising to travel with us into the unknown territory beyond the door. You may never have seen beyond the door, but there is a beautiful world waiting to welcome you there. A world where the lion will lay down with the lamb. A world where snake pits will be safe playgrounds for children. A world of justice for the poor and freedom for the oppressed and comfort for the brokenhearted. Come, Lord Jesus, come.